All right, let's pray. We'll get started. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you and praise you for this word, your word, and it shall not pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. And so we thank you and praise you for that. We come to you tonight, Lord, we're few in number, and yet we come to you tonight as humble sinners saved by grace, become saints by your righteousness. And we just pray that you would bless this word that you have preserved for us and have given us the Holy Ghost to help us understand. Bless tonight as we come to you to pray, and then, but also first to Lord, dip into the Word and see what it has to say and apply it. Hear it, read it, and keep it. And we'll just trust you for the results. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So I hope somebody else comes in, but there are two of us here right now, but we're going to press forward and trust the Lord for the results. So this is a series that I've been working on for some time, meditating on for some time. And I'm calling it The Path of the Victorious City. And I wasn't going to share this, but I've got, I timed my execution of this message this afternoon. It turned out to be about 18 minutes or something like that. So apparently there's a controversy among theologians about the city of Nicopolis. And supposedly there are two cities named Nicopolis. And if you'll look at the end of Titus in your Bible, it might have a line that says, written, the Epistle of Titus written by Paul from Nicopolis in Macedonia, of Macedonia. So, and what God shared with me by the Holy Ghost was the really this Nicopolis. Paul was diligently asking Titus to come, or asking Titus to do his diligence to come before winter. He had determined to winter in Nicopolis. I don't know whether Paul knew he was going to be recaptured again, but rumor has it, according to some history accounts, that Paul was apprehended in Nicopolis and hauled off to Rome for his eventual execution. And Titus didn't make it to Nicopolis in time. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find out that Titus had gone to Dalmatia. So I don't know whether he went to Nicopolis, didn't find Paul there, and somehow it got back to Paul that Titus had gone to Dalmatia. But nonetheless, Paul is God's sharing with me on this is that Paul is in Nicopolis now, and that's the city of victory in the third heaven. And so that's where we're all headed. And so to that end, we're going to dip into chapter 2 of Titus, Titus chapter 2. And we're going to step through this as a title for this chapter is Conversation of a Pastor, and conversation meaning lifestyle. So and just to kind of review, I shared this like years ago, but for the sake of this message, just to give you an outline of the whole book of Titus, the way God's allowed me to see it, is chapter 1 is commandments to a pastor, and chapter 2 lays out the conversation of a pastor, which is lifestyle. And chapter 3 I have entitled culmination of a pastor, or what is the end game and what are we trying to accomplish? And that's where we're headed for the victorious city, and so in that vein, we're going to today look at the conversation or lifestyle of a pastor. And there's some subpoints that I'm going to give us as we go forward. And I'm subtitling this, so this is Conversation of a Pastor, and I'm subtitling this Practice What We Preach. Practice What We Preach. And so the first thing that we see in chapter 2, verse 1, is that Titus is to preach, and so are we, or those of us who are her pastors, we are to preach the character qualities. And this is all character qualities, because that's what this chapter basically lays out, a thumbnail sketch, if you will, of the character qualities laid out in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and some more laid out in chapter 5, chapter 5, when Paul gives Timothy instruction regarding widows and different things, and women, the obedience of women to the Lord, and the Bible says to their husbands. So, and verse 1 in Titus chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And we're going to see what those things are in a minute. But, of course, 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2 tells us to preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all along suffering and doctrine, and do the work of an evangelist. And so that we know that that's implied here. And even though we don't know if Titus had the books of 1 and 2 Timothy, we know we do, because we got them in our Bible, and so God preserved them for us. And so we're going to read them, and you know, and we're going to focus on Titus chapter 2 tonight, but we're going to read those over the course of our study of the Word of God over the days and weeks, and we're going to find out what those character qualities are, what those verses are. So, let's look at Romans 10:13-15. Romans 10:13-15, and it's another verse in the Bible that tells us, commands us to preach. Romans 10:13-15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on them whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach if lest they be sent? Except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things.
Amen.
So, anyway, we're commanded to preach. We're commanded to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, and by God's grace, we try to do that. But if we're going to preach, we need to practice. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And point two is going to be practice the character qualities. Practice the character qualities. And so I'm going to jump a little bit here and take these verses not quite in order. And because what happens is Paul tells Titus some things in verses 7 and 8. And if we look at verses 7 and 8, it says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing thyself uncorruptness, I'm sorry, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So we're emphasizing the point here that, you know, we practice what we preach, because if we don't practice what we preach, we cause the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the Word of God. It'll give us more credibility if we practice what we preach, but, you know, credibility is not the most important thing, as I said just a minute ago, that we, you know, give the enemies of God not occasion to blaspheme the word of God. 2 Samuel 12, verse 14, you know, David repented of his sin in verse 13 his adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. But Nathan tells him in verse 14, but nonetheless, because you've given the enemies of the Lord great occasion to blaspheme, then this child is going to die. And so the child did die. We find out later that David understands that that child has gone to be with the Lord. But it was meet that God show David some consequences for his sin. And so it was a great sin, worthy of death. Bathsheba was worthy of death. David was worthy of death. But God forgives his sin, and he writes Psalm 51. And then we use that psalm even today as a psalm of really repentance and meditation. We meditate on that because we are sinners. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's how David wrote about that in verse 5 of Psalm 51. So we take heed to that. Okay, so I'm touching on the character qualities here, and we're not making light of these, but we're just kind of stepping through this chapter. And obviously 1 Timothy chapter 3 lays these out in detail, and it's talking about the office of a bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3. This particular chapter, this particular passage, isn't necessarily talking about a bishop or a pastor or a deacon, but you know, Titus is commanded to set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every church. So if he's going to ordain elders, then he needs to know, okay, these are the character qualities. So that's how we lay this out. So verse 2, if we step back up to verse 2. Let's see. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. And we're going to stop there for a minute. So this is one verse for the aged men, but it has a lot of stuff, and there's six things in here. You know, sober, temperate, sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, charity, patience. And so essentially that encompasses all of the character qualities laid out in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and it serves as an example to those younger men and women and the aged women that we're going to talk about in a minute. And I've already talked about 1 Timothy chapter 3 lays out the entire list of the character qualities there. I would like to, however, just touch on 1 Timothy 3:15, because it gives us the purpose for this. And 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and ground of the truth. That says the pillar and ground of the truth. So that's the purpose. We need to know how to behave. And 1 Timothy 4:12 as another note. Again, Timothy's being a pattern here. Or Paul's telling Timothy to be a pattern here, and he's telling us too. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So he's to do all of that. Okay. Interesting in verses 3 to 5, he takes a little bit more time for the aged women. And just a repeat of, kind of a repeat of 1 Timothy 5 and the verses in 1 Timothy 3 laying out the character qualities of a woman of God and the deacons' wives and all of that. But he is repeating more of this here, and I suspect, here, the Bible talks about the women being the weaker vessel. Men are weak, but women are weaker, and so I think that's probably the reason for this, and that's why he repeats them here. And let's look at verse 3. Okay, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may be able to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And we talked about that a minute ago too, that all this is done that we give not great occasions of the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. So we don't want the word of God to be blasphemed, so let's practice what we preach. Okay. The young men likewise exult to be sober-minded. Verse 6. The young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. So, obviously, this comes back to discipleship, right? Because the older men are going to teach the younger men to be sober-minded, and all of those things that we saw back up in verse 2. And so we trust in the Lord for discipleship, but we execute on discipleship as we attempt to do in this church, as we trust the Lord for the results for that. And so we're teaching the Word of God to each other is what happens. Okay, so remember we dealt with 7 and 8 earlier, where he tells Titus to be a pattern, show a pattern of good works. And we talked about that. He talked to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. And now we're going to talk about servants and employees. Servants or employees. In verses 9 and 10. Okay, exhort servants to be obedient to their own masters, to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And so, some comments here. It's really hard in probably in every culture, but you know, we have the right to free speech, and so we kind of speak our mind and do all that. But sometimes, you know, we need to just do good work, show all fidelity, which is faithfulness, just show all faithfulness, do good work, and that's going to be a testimony. Obviously, you know, we try, if we really see somebody really doing something, I don't know how to, you know, work that, but you don't want, and there are processes to deal with ethical misconduct, if you will, and I don't know, you know, it's probably getting worse and worse today, but we still have a pretty good process for dealing with ethical misconduct, and hopefully God will help us do that. We need to obviously obey God rather than men, and so doing something against the Word of God obviously is not what Paul's talking about here verses to Titus. But ultimately what this is going to do is give us a good testimony with our employer, and we should adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things, but hopefully they will too, and we'll have a good testimony with our employer, and they will see our good works and glorify God. So what is the purpose, number three, the purpose of the character qualities? Why do we do these things? And we've alluded to this a little bit ago, but really here in verses 11 to 15 we get down and we really start digging into this, and there's a lot here, but there's just these verses tell us why, and this is the purpose of why we practice what we preach. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." That's the first thing, is the grace of God. Teaching us, and it teaches us something, teaching us that denying all ungodliness and lust and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. And this is what we're really looking for, right? Verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ." "That gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And "these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So let me go back to the first 14. I mean, basically Paul lays this whole thing out here. The grace of God appeared, that bringing salvation appeared unto all men. And it teaches us that, Christ gave himself that he might redeem unto himself a people, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And so we're looking for that. We're looking for his appearing. We're looking for that. We're listening for that trumpet. We're the voice of the archangel, a trump of God, and Jesus. Let's see, the shout of the, what is that? Anyway, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, all of that happens. We meet Jesus Christ in the air, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. So we're looking, we're listening for that, we're looking for that, we are longing for that. And so that's why we do all these things, is because we want other men to come too. And again, we're bringing other people into the victorious city. We want that to happen, so to bring other people. Okay, let me pull out verse 15 here, because I found this interesting. I was doing my preparation this evening, and God happened to, by his grace, he just shared this with me. "Speak and exhort and rebuke." So watch what happens here. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 to 17. Okay, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now watch how this lines up with verse 15 of Titus 2. This is interesting. I found this interesting. So speaking is teaching or doctrine. And so we line that up, speaking doctrine with doctrine. Exhorting would be reproof. And anyway, that's pretty, it just lines right up. And then correcting is rebuking. And then with all authority is instruction in righteousness. So, just kind of interesting how that lines up. I found that to be fascinating and praise God for sharing that with me. But anyway, so let's practice what we preach and really trust God for the results. Obviously, we're looking to bring people into God's kingdom, which is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, Romans 14:17. And let's pray, and we'll be done. Heavenly Lord, Father, thank you and praise you for this word that you've given us. Thank you and praise you for your love for us, your grace, your mercy. Bless, Lord, your word as it being taught weekly in this church and several times a week. And we just pray that you would use it in our lives to abound to your glory. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.